With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If you want to understand what the latest hearing in the Brian Walsh case means, you don't need to start with the schedule or the jury pool or the procedural stuff. You start with what the room actually felt like, because this wasn't some routine check-in. This was the state and the defense fighting over what the jury is going to be allowed to hear, because we are there, ladies and gentlemen. Jury selection is about to begin in the trial of Brian Walsh, and we're going to be bringing you coverage of it every single day right here on the podcast. The trial, they're saying, expecting a December 1st start date. Well, that sounds like a long ways away. No, it's not. I mean, it's the 18th, 19th, depending on when you're watching this, of November. The following week is Thanksgiving, and then it's the beginning of the month. So we're right there with a holiday in the mix. We are on the eve of the trial starting, basically, figuratively, if you will. So what's going on? What will the jury see in the version of the Brian Walsh trial that is coming up? Well, let's talk about that. Because Brian walked into court just the other day, wearing his suit, shuffling in with corrections officers, giving that awkward little wave to his mother, like some high school awards night instead of a murder trial. Even a kiss was blown. Oh, honey, I love those Google searches. You're such a good Googler. It's got to be a tough one to try and reconcile if Brian Walsh is your son. That's some mental gymnastics right there. I'm not even going to go into that, but it's got to be some mental gymnastics. His mom was there, sitting in the gallery watching her son, watching the room, and then the judge asked her to leave because they were about to talk about something the jury won't hear from her directly, but absolutely lives in the shadow of the case. She hired a private investigator, not for Anna, for Brian. She hired someone to dig into whether Anna was having an affair. And the moment that came up in court, the air kind of shifted. I know, we're kind of getting into craziness right away. Craziness you might not have known about in this case. Mom hired a PI for Brian. Yes, this happened. because she wanted to figure out if she was having an affair. Was she doing her little boy wrong? Her little art forgery, not thief, art forgery fraudster little man, Brian. Is she sleeping with other people while you're forging your art, little Brian? When that came up, suddenly we weren't just in the procedural hearing anymore. We were wading into motive, jealousy, insecurity, all the emotional fuel the state says was burning under his marriage before Anna vanished. And there's Mom in the gallery. Mwah! From the prosecutor's perspective, those investigators, those searches, that jealousy, that's narrative context. From the defensive's perspective, it's a grenade, and you could feel them pulling Brian's mother out of the courtroom like someone quietly escorting a witness away from a crime scene. But at the heart of the hearing, the real reason everyone was in that room was the digital evidence, the searches, the online trail, because when that gets in, it's not going to be a good day for Brian. The messages, the content, everything that prosecutors say Brian typed, clicked, watched, or thought about in the hours surrounding the last time anyone ever heard from Anna. Most people have heard the big ones, the body disposal searches, the decomposition questions, but this hearing cracked open another layer. The other searches. The cheating spouse content. The defense is terrified of that stuff hitting the jury. You could hear it in the way they argued. They said it's inflammatory. It's irrelevant. It's designed to turn the jury against him personally. And they want those searches buried. Allegedly, there's some dirty stuff in there. Prosecutors want them front and center, though. From their point of view, this wasn't random browsing. This wasn't an accidental click. This was a man who they believe thought his wife was having an affair, and the content he allegedly viewed fits that fear exactly. It speaks to motive. It speaks to fixation. It speaks to state of mind. Both sides know it's a razor's thin edge. The wrong ruling, and the jury sees content that could poison their view of Brian before the first witness ever takes a stand. And above all that, overshadowing everything is the core search timeline. The one the prosecution says tells the story without Brian ever saying a word. You don't necessarily need everything else when you got this stuff. But if you're a prosecutor, you're going for as tight of a case as you can. So bring on the icing and the toppings. These are the searches they plan to bring in, and this hearing made it clear they're fighting hard to get every single one in front of the jury. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear some of Brian's searches? Here's what prosecutors say he searched on December 27th. What's the best state to divorce a man? Okay. That's, you know, if you start to think about getting a divorce, it might be something you look at. I mean, think about what that means in hindsight, though. A man on probation for federal fraud, a man who depended on his wife financially, a man who prosecutors say was already spiraling, thinking about divorce, thinking about leverage, thinking about what happens next. Okay. Nothing wrong, though, with looking that up. That's not necessarily, you know. And then comes January 1st. And according to prosecutors, starting at around 5 in the morning, on a phone and on a child's iPad, Brian was allegedly entering search after search about death, decomposition, and how to make a body disappear. You know, like you do. Happy New Year! The reruns of the ball dropping are just finishing, and you're like, how long before body starts to smell? How to stop a body from decomposing? How to bound a body? 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to. How long for someone to be missing to inherit? wear it? How you throw away body parts? Or can you throw away body parts? What does formaldehyde do? How long does DNA last? Can identification be made on partial remains? Dismemberment and the best ways to decompose of a body. How to clean blood from a wooden floor. Luminol to detect blood. What happens when you put body parts in ammonia? Is it better to throw away crime scene clothes or wash them? Those are all real searches alleged by the prosecution. All of that. That wasn't a riff. That was real. January 1st, where many people nursing a hangover. Well, I guess that's one hell of a hangover he was nursing, if he's searching those sorts of things. Imagine being a juror hearing that sequence read aloud. Imagine the prosecution pulling up a timeline, pointing to every single minute and saying, this is what he was doing the morning his wife vanished. If you have nothing to hide, why are you searching those things? And then January 2nd, it just keeps going because nothing outlasts the power of Brian Walsh. Hacksaw, best tool to dismember. Can you be charged with murder without a body? Can you identify a body with broken teeth? Then January 3rd, what happens to hair on a dead body? What is the rate of decomposition of a body found in a plastic bag compared to a surface in the woods? Can baking soda make a body smell good? This is the digital story the prosecution says they're going to show the jury. That's the digital story we learned on this case a little more than 2 years ago, where we all said, well, this is done. This is over. A man pacing through the early hours of the morning, spraying the internet with questions that line up with the exact nightmare prosecutors say unfolded in that home. And then you move from his phone to the physical world, and it's the same story all over again. The Home Depot trip. Prosecutors say Brian was seen on surveillance video the very next day, January 2nd, buying nearly $500 in cleaning supplies, mops, tarps, buckets, gloves, tape, cloths, wearing gloves, wearing a mask, paying in cash, not with kids in tow, not as a panicked husband, but as someone preparing for cleanup. Investigators later said they found blood in the basement of the Walsh home, a broken knife with blood on it, a pattern of disturbance in the flooring, and then the trash. This is where the case gets even more devastating. A transfer station in Peabody and trash bags that prosecutors say contain a hacksaw, a hatchet, a rug, towels, cloth, cleaning supplies, clothing. And according to reports, items belonging to Anna, including her vaccination card and jewelry. Several of those items reportedly tested positive for blood. DNA allegedly tied back to Anna or the Walsh household. And layered on top of all of that absolute shit Sunday is the behavioral timeline, the thing prosecutors use to tie all of this together. Anna is last seen alive after a New Year's Eve dinner with friends. She's supposed to travel to Washington, D.C. early on January 1st, but there's no Uber, no Lyft, no taxi, no airport footage, no credit card activity, no electronic trail, nothing. Her phone goes silent, her card stops, her life stops. And Brian, he tells people she left early for a work emergency. Doesn't report her missing. Her employer does. That part always hits hardest for me. The woman doing everything right. The woman carrying the family. The woman showing up for every responsibility she had. The first time she didn't appear, it was her colleagues, not her husband, who raised the alarm. Prosecutors say his story doesn't match cameras, receipts, travel timelines, or phone data. The digital footprint around him is alive. The digital footprint around her is dead. And over all this sits the motive prosecutors plan to argue. Jealousy, collapsing finances, fear of consequences from his federal case, awareness of Anna's alleged affair, pressure from all directions. None of this has been proven in court, but prosecutors are clearly telegraphing that this is their theory. A man whose life was spiraling, whose marriage was crumbling, and whose emotional state, they say, deteriorated into violence. So now we come back to the hearing. Because what happened in the courtroom this week was the state trying to preserve the strength of its mountain of evidence. And the defense trying to carve pieces off before the jury ever sees it. Would you like a little prime rib, my friend? Oh, bigger slice? Oh, sorry, the knife broke. It's in the basement, it has blood on it. Just take that thought for a second. Who randomly has a knife sitting around their house with blood actively on it? Most knives I have, I don't think, ever really see blood because they're cutting meat that has already been cooked. Maybe there's some blood on rare cuts. The defense wants the porn searches. The alleged porn search is out. They want the cheating wife content out. They want the private investigator conversation off the table. They want anything that paints Brian as emotionally volatile or sexually fixated on infidelity to stay hidden. Because they know once the jury sees the full picture, the searches about dismemberment stacked right next to the searches about infidelity, motive becomes easier to argue. The defense strategy is going to be the standard playbook for a no-body case. They're going to say, search history doesn't prove a crime. People Google weird things out of curiosity. It's dark, but it's not illegal. They're going to say there's no body, no confirmed cause of death, no definitive murder weapon. They're going to say nothing in the trash proves when or how anything happened. Oh, is that her DNA? Is that Brian, you didn't tell me that. They're going to attack the chain of custody, the forensic testing, and the DNA analysis. They're going to suggest alternate theories, other people, other explanations, and more complicated marital picture, aliens maybe. They'll probably lean heavily into the alleged affair, hinting without stating that Anna may have voluntarily or met with unknown harm or been met with unknown harm unrelated to Brian because, you know, she was getting the hell out of that volatile relationship with her art thieving husband. And they're going to remind the jury again and again that Brian is presumed innocent until proven guilty. But Brian's time-buying attempts are running out. His competency motion has been denied. His venue change request denied. His delay tactics exhausted. He's walking into this trial with one of the most extensive circumstantial evidence piles I've seen in a nobody case in years. And if you could feel that tension in the courtroom at this hearing, you'd know it. The final question isn't whether the state has evidence. They do. It's whether the jury gets to see the entire picture. The raw, unfiltered timeline of his searches, his movements, the forensic findings, and the narrative prosecutors believe they can prove. And after watching that hearing, it sure feels like most of that evidence, maybe all of it, is going to be laid right at the jury's feet. Judgment Day is coming. Brian Walsh, hold that teddy bear tight. Because there ain't an amount of sick days that are going to get you out of this one. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts or listening to us so you don't miss any of our coverage. And hey, if you don't mind, on YouTube right now, if you're not already on our YouTube channel, maybe you've been thinking about it, please get over there and check it out. Maybe you're there right now. Hit subscribe. We're trying to get up to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. I don't know if we're going to do it. And people are like, oh, believe. I'm a realist. And we're at 81,000. We got about 1,500 in the last 2 days. And we got a little bit more than a month. So maybe, I'm hoping, if you've not done so yet, hit subscribe on our YouTube channel. We do greatly, greatly appreciate that support. And you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases we're covering for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Thank you.